I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Here's a chapter, the Vietnam War, many of us don't remember too well. Part of the U.S. effort to cut off supplies to communist forces in Vietnam involved bombing neighboring Laos. In fact, American bombing runs in the 60s and 70s made Laos the most heavily bombed nation on Earth ever. And today, President Obama said the U.S. has a moral obligation to Laos to help the country deal with millions of unexploded American cluster bombs that still litter the countryside. Washington Post reporter William Wan is traveling with the president. Wan says the U.S. bombing campaign isn't just a thing of the past in Laos.
Yeah, I mean, it ravaged the country at that time, but even more sinister is kind of the legacy effect of that. You know, they carried out, you know, 500,000 bombing missions, and there was 270 million cluster bombs that were dropped, which is just staggering. That's more bombs than all of the bombs dropped in World War II, just in the country of Laos. So if you can imagine that, so 30% of all of these bombs were never exploded. They're just laying out in the field, in villages, children climbing over them, farmers kind of tilling the fields where these are buried. And you don't know until you lose a limb or your life. And so just a really pernicious kind of after effect, like a continual wound in the side of this country.
Yeah, and it's not a kind of an aberration when these things go off. It happens a lot, right?
No, regularly. Up until just a few years ago, it was as many as 300 people dying a year just from these bombs.
Wow.
I've seen pictures of some of these before and after, and you don't see the ground. It's just ground. You know, it's a farm with rice growing in it. And, you know, someone steps over it and suddenely it's an entire, like a meteor has hit that site. Just astonishing.
Well, as Obama himself said, the United States has a moral obligation to help Laos with this unexploded ordnance. What is he proposing? What's the solution?
Well, it's not a solution as it is so much a path towards solution. He's proposed $90 million over 3 years. You know, U.S. has contributed increasing amounts in recent years, but it's a very slow increase of money. This doubles the amount that they're contributing to the funds that are helping clear these unexploded bombs. So it's a significant hike, but the amount of bombs you're talking about that need to be cleared are kind of staggering. So it's kind of a path towards that.
And does Laos, does the government in Laos see that that kind of money is enough to solve the problem?
I think the way both governments are thinking about this is a significant problem, but it's also an opportunity for both sides. There's not been that much talk between the two. The ties are not that strong. This is the common bond they have, is the secret war that went on. You know, not a great bond to build on, but like that's their history. And so I think for both sides, this is kind of seen as an opportunity for U.S.-Lao ties and something they can work on together that they can build on for a future relationship.
Yeah, so if solving the problem of unexploded ordnance is kind of the first step in U.S.-Thai relations, what does the future hold? What do, like, the people of Laos want from the U.S.?
It's difficult because, you know, when you talk about what do Lao people want, you know, there's such a divide between the people running the country, the elites, and the people on the ground. And it's a country that has a lot of difficulties. It's corrupt, extremely repressive. And so it's difficult when the U.S. talks about what the people want here, because the U.S. has to be very careful not to say, you know, they want something even hinting at a regime change. They're pushing for more democratization, more humane treatment of people, their own people. So, you know, it's hard when you say, what do people want? The leaders want the economy to go better. They want to stabilize the country and raise people's livelihood in a way that keeps them in power. So it's a very complicated mix. The problem is if you improve the country that much, the kind of corrupt practices that help them become rich because they're in power, those avenues are cut off. And so it's a kind of a juggling act. You know, you don't want people so angry and dissatisfied that, you know, it's open kind of anger and revolt, but you want the system in place so that you can benefit from it.
You know, we hear so little from Laos. This is probably your first time there too, right?
It is. It's kind of strange because it's a mix of all these countries that people often visit. You know, Americans, they go to Vietnam, they go to Thailand, they're strong tourist sites. Laos is kind of this place where it's in between all of that and it has influences from all of that. Really, the three biggest influencers in its culture and geopolitics is China, Vietnam, and Thailand. And so you see this mix of it with kind of the native culture as well.
What struck you most profoundly since you've been there?
That's difficult. You know, it's the mundane things. I mean, just the way that the rain starts and stops on a dime, I don't know. I feel like maybe this is projecting, but I feel like it kind of affects the way you think of life. I mean, things can change at any moment, and it is very unpredictable here, I must say. There's this feeling of that.
Well, it is a historic day of sorts. It is the first time an American president is in Laos. It's also the first time Washington Post reporter William Wan is there, too. William Wan traveling with the president for the Post in the city of Vientiane, Laos. William, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on.